Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Janet Entine.
Hi, John.
And we're having another wonderful conversation, and this one happens to be with Matt Tamaris, who is the Deputy Director of Emergency Management and also a Deputy Commissioner of Human Resources for the town of North Hempstead. When we went to break, Matt was talking about his casserole tuna or something like that, and but he made a very good point. You know, people buy this non-perishables, but you need a microwave to do something with it, or you need a stovetop. They're lovely to have if everything is functioning in the house. If it's not, it's just, and the refrigerator goes also, it's just water. And as he said, the power bars and chewy bars and crackers and peanut butter and, you know, odds and ends that you can sit in a cabinet, doesn't need refrigeration, doesn't need cooking, and it'll get you through, which is very important. And Janet, however, at the break, wanted to bring up some phone numbers.
Oh, right. I think Matt was talking about the importance of having medicine ready in the event of a problem. But what about phone numbers, Matt? It seems to me that that people who are aging should have phone numbers that they can call to make some progress.
And that's correct. The town has a wonderful system, our 311 system. And the 311 system, we're constantly feeding during any event. We're feeding the 311 system a ton of information. What's going on with the storm? What's the weather look like? I send a weather report out to them. I send them a status report as far as damage, so on and so forth. So they have a great grasp of what is happening right in the town of North Hempstead. So they know. So if you call the town's 311 system, they'll be able to help you out. They'll be able to tell you what resources to go to. They'll be able to log if you have a power outage. They'll be able to log that for you. If you have a tree down, they'll be able to log that and put in what's called an SR service request to remove that tree. If you need special services, they'll be able to direct you in the right direction or push it towards my office so that we could get, you know, the proper care or attention or services that person needs.
And one point that Matt made on the break, which I want to bring to everyone's attention, and it's very true. Calling the police at that point in time, they're going to be so busy. You'll get an answer, I'm sure, and maybe you won't get an answer, but you're not going to get a response as quickly. I mean, they'll be running in every direction. So 311 probably is a much better source of information.
Correct. I mean, obviously, if it's a life-threatening emergency, your house is on fire. You know, as much as I love 311, please don't call 311. Call 911. In situations like that. But if it's, if it's questions, resources, stuff of that nature, the police are going to be inundated. All the emergency services, whether it's ambulance, fire, they're going to be inundated. The utilities are going to be inundated. We have a municipal link to the utilities. We're able to log onto their system, outages. But we're very fortunate that we have a great team that, all hands are on deck when there's a storm. We have them all. They don't go home. They all actually stay there overnight.
I remember hearing stories that after Sandy, how people who work for Project Independence stayed there all night and just took calls, and that's an enormous comfort for anyone living in the town.
100%.
And that's what they're there for. I'd like to say we train constantly on it. Unfortunately, we don't, and we really should probably train more. But the truth of the matter is, we have a plan. We follow the plan. Each year I review it. We go over it, and each department, has a section on what they're supposed to do in the event of a storm or any type of event. So I create a plan for everything from landslides, to flooding, to hurricanes, and then it says what type of storm, how we react, the town's response, what departments get involved, so on and so forth.
Wow.
So, that's amazing.
Yes.
Throwing another thing in here, which just came to my mind. When you're talking about food and stuff and getting everything organized, pets. that, you know, I don't have a pet, so it's not my issue, but I don't know what just came to me, because all of a sudden,
a lot
of seniors have pets, whether it's a bird, a cat, a dog, and all of a sudden you have a senior in the situation. We're setting the senior up, but they just have to be, you know, cognizant of the fact that the pet's going to be taken care of too.
John, fantastic point. I'm amazed you thought about it not owning a pet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I don't know. I just wrote it down.
So kudos to you, John, because, see, you're already starting to think through the process. It's great. This is working. Pets are very important. You should have a plan for your pets. And during Sandy and Irene, part of the problem with the Manhasset Isle area and the Manor Haven area is a lot of people didn't want to evacuate, even though we were asking them to evacuate, was because they didn't have a plan for their pets and they didn't want to leave their pets behind. And that is a concern and is a problem. Shelters do not allow you to bring pets.
Oh.
There are, quote-unquote, pet shelters that open up. During Sandy, Nassau Community College opened up and they took pets. We have the town's animal shelter, which we can take some, but we're limited, you know, to how many can take. But that is a concern, and you should pre-plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what are you going to do with your pet, and start asking, where can I bring my pet, and start looking for those resources. Or if you're that concerned about your pet, just like we discussed, get out early.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't wait till there's the major panic and you can't get fuel or you can't get off the island because there's major traffic. You know, especially if it's the senior population. If there's a storm and it's, you know, 2 days out and they say there's, you know, a 50% chance, maybe it's a great time to visit.
Right.
You know, visit a friend, someone you haven't seen in a while, make a nice connection and bring, you know, and bring your animals with you.
Technology is getting better and better, that when they announce major storms, they're pretty good. I mean, it's pretty much honest at that.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the day-to-day rain, they seem to be ridiculous nowadays, but that's besides the point.
The big stuff they get.
But the big stuff, obviously, you know, you see that cloud mass or whatever is coming at you, listen to it. And you said it very nicely. Go to visit a friend. You know, I'm not saying go to a hotel and spend $1,000 to be 3 blocks from your house. If somebody you know someplace, call up and say, listen, I want to get out of town. I'm going to come for a visit.
Mm-hmm. And you said the technology really is amazing. We, emergency managers, we have this program we use called HurriVac, which literally puts all the data in. I could tell you, you know, based on the storm and when it hits, you know, at this time, how long it will take to evacuate an area, how the storm surge, how far in it will come. I mean, the amount of data we have is unbelievable. Getting people to listen to the data you have is another case. But, I mean, when we have a storm coming in, to all the commissioners, I actually send an email out and I say the storm is X number of miles from us. The timeline is this. And it's amazing
how close it is,
how accurate it is. And I'd like to tell you it's me. I'm a genius. You know, I'm the great Kardak. I could see it all. I'm clairvoyant. But the truth of the matter is we have so much data now and technology has gotten so good that they send the hurricane hunter you know, into the storm. That data comes right to the National Weather Service, National Hurricane Center, actually, and literally as soon as it hits, it goes out to my modeling program.
Right.
So it really is phenomenal the amount of data someone who's not a meteorologist by trade can get and make accurate predictions.
That is
just
amazing.
Because, you know, it does it for mm-hmm. me.
The other thing also, when you're talking about getting the information to evacuate. And this is not being selfish for these people, but there is those that don't evacuate really put so many other people at risk. I don't want to go, but then you have all the emergency crew that have to come to help them. And it really, when they should be taking care of some other operation, during the course of the storm, there's somebody at the very end of the peninsula that needs to be picked up with her and her dog, or him and his dog. I mean, it's really unfair. And then you read about it sometimes afterwards, there's how something has gone wrong. That person may be okay. But unfortunately, one of the firefighters and rescue people hurt themselves.
Correct. And it really does put the first responders at risk. And you got to remember that these people are going out, especially in Long Island, where we're all volunteer agencies, except for, you know, the police are paid, but the fire department's all volunteer. And you got to remember that they're leaving their family behind to worry about the storm and handle stuff at home while they're doing what's called standby in the firehouse so that they can respond to minor events. Yeah. But once the winds get above 55, you know, they usually pull them all off.
PSC, oh, they do.
Yep, PSC&G's pulled off. You know, everybody's pulled off. So now if you don't prepare beforehand...
At 55, at 55 miles per hour, no emergency person would be on the street technically then.
Technically.
That's supposed to be the rule.
It's supposed to be the rule. Okay. It is the chief's call. I will tell you during Sandy, and I'm not going to mention the department, but I know a department went out and went on a call. But it really is dangerous at that point because you don't know which tree, when, how, where
is
coming down at you.
True.
Even if you're, you know, you think, well, it's just a fire. We know how to put out a fire.
Right.
That's what we do all the time. You know, there's a lot of other elements going on. You know, the wind's blowing. Could the fire jump from one house to the other? There's a lot of stuff going on. But typically, all emergency services, bridges are closed, so on and so forth at 55.
I didn't know that. Okay.
I didn't either.
And it does make sense, though, because it doesn't even have to be storm I mean, it is storm-related, but, right, a tree can just topple over. You'll go into a fire. But a tree comes over and goes through the car, and then the poor guy, who's a volunteer?
Or imagine PSC&G, they're working on wires.
Right, that's true, too.
You know, they're up in the air. You know, the wind's blowing. They're in the bucket. And, you know, the bucket's swaying back and forth. It's just not safe for them either.
No, I agree. It makes sense. You know, at the end of the day, what we're basically saying, we're basically out of time, too, is the person home take the initiative to set up your emergency kit, water, food, first aid, etc., pre-organize something for your pet, have a plan of evacuation, and that's the end of it. But this is not just for a major storm. As Matt says in the beginning, this is for
this is a way
anything,
of life,
yep.
Exactly. You know?
And I know we're getting close to time. If people need to call, they could call 311 and ask. And, you know, FEMA's nice enough to provide me with thousands of, you know, kits. I could send them a brochure.
All right, perfect.
And you know, the brochure basically makes it simple and outlines it. So if they call 311 and ask for a brochure to be sent out to them, it will come to me, and I'll make sure
perfect.
They get it.
We'll bring that up again at the second half of this, but absolutely, that's a great idea. Right now, we have to say thank you to Matt. You've been listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. Matt Tamaris is the Deputy Director of Emergency Management, and next time he's on, he'll do the tuna recipe, which he didn't give us. You see how we avoided that in the second half? We're all looking for tuna. You're listening to 88.1 FM and WCWP.org.